Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football.
Good evening, Rush Nation, and welcome along to this week's flagship show. I'm pleased to say I'm back after struggling with no voice and a shocking cold, and Munich took it out of me, Murph. You powered on through, I'm pleased to say, and we're all so grateful for that. So, how are you doing, big man? You well?
I'm all right. I'm slowly on the mend. So it was very quiet this week on Twitter, and a few people, I didn't get DMs back till very late. So apologies, but health comes first. It's just a stomach issue. Just some bacteria that shouldn't be there is there, and just got killed off. But today's the first day I sort of feel a bit human. So
good.
It's all good, and I really appreciate everybody's warm reception to last week's show with Evan. You know, we touched a lot of topics, but in particular some sort of deep stuff there, and people really appreciated the chat, and there were some really kind words that came through my DMs. Cool. Yep. So, yeah, Evan's brilliant, and it was a great show with a lot of great content, and then a very real discussion about Twitter bullying and mental health and covering those angles. If you haven't a chance, go listen to it. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a guru for mental health, or I've had it any worse than anybody else from an abuse perspective, but I would say that it's definitely it's a conversation needs to be had.
We're both redheads. We're on the wrong side of that already. So
exactly that. You know, I was telling someone the other day, you know, I've been bullied every day pretty much since I was 6 years old.
You've embraced it and carried it. I run away from it. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? I think it's not so much embracing it. It's just you have to get to a point in your life, don't you? You just think, whatever.
And we're not making light. I make ginger jokes. We're not making light of it either. Let's be clear on that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I've always said to people, like, I don't mind it if it's done to my face and I'm part of the joke. That's fine. It's when it's behind your back or you're excluded because of your hair colour. Like, that's the part I can't stand. Like, that's the fine line. Like, I could, anyone will call me Ginge, or, you know what, my best mate, his my godson and his little sister and his older brother all call me Uncle Ginger. Like, that's just what I'm called. Yeah. And that's fine. Like, it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be
total
a negative thing.
That way.
Exactly that. And I think that's the key, is how you convey something like that. And that's true with anything. Context is key. But we've digressed a little bit. I think this is a really good show. We're at a really crucial point of the season now where, look, we could keep doing play utilizations. We've done lots of players. We've got a lot right. We've got a few wrong. I have to take an L on Isaiah McKenzie. I said drop him last week, and then he goes and has a half-decent game. I still don't think I would be that gutted if I had dropped him, because I don't know if his path to victory going forward is key. But I think, you know, he's a player that I got wrong. I didn't see him having a big role rest of the season, and he did pop up with a game. But I think what we should do is start thinking about roster builds. If you are in, you're in two scenarios now. You're either in a, I'm sitting pretty for the playoffs, I'm pretty much, or I have qualified already with 2 weeks to go, and it's what would you do to get ready for that? Or inversely, I need to win every game, not just to get in, but to win the playoffs. So I'm win or I'm out. And
you're done. Your playoffs start now.
Exactly that. And your playoffs start now, and you have to think about how you're going to build for victory. So I think we're going to have some tips there from yourself, and thinking from a small DFS mindset, and how you can transfer that. And then me from just a roster construction, and just being really honest with yourself, because I think that's really key. And then we'll do some schedule stuff. We'll think about some players that you should add to your rosters. I can't believe we are in week. We've had week 12 barring tonight. Josh Jacobs is the RB1.
Yeah. It's a weird world we live in. Do you remember there was a time not that long ago where he started the opening preseason game and season over? Can you remember that?
100%. Everyone was going nuts. Like, what are they doing? He's going to be nothing this season. Everyone paid it. That August, honestly, I got him for such a discount that I look like a genius now. And it wasn't. It was just value. It was just value drafting. It was just, I can't let him slip anymore. Someone's got to pay a decent. No one's getting him for a steal past where I've got him. I did that in my Razz Bowl build. It was the same thing. He fell to the fifth round in the Razz Bowl. And it's a 14-team league. So I got him at the 502. So that's 58th overall. That's wild. Yep. Like you and you know, now he's paying dividends. But I think that's the thing. It's just about, I didn't necessarily rate his prospects, but I felt you had to take him. But it's interesting, you got Jamal Williams, RB10.
Yeah,
it's just a wild season, what's going on here. But anyway, we'll get to that. So I think, you know,
Hey Stacey.
I think let's get into then this discussion then about building your roster.
Where are we gonna start? We're gonna start with the team that's in and now planning, or do you wanna start with the guys on the bubble? Where should we begin?
I think let's start with the ones where you're in, because I think there's not a huge amount of those, but I think those that are there are the ones that quite avidly either listen to the show or listen to.
I think there'll be more from tomorrow when this week scores start ticking in, and you can look at the team in seventh and start going, well, I've got 2 games and 200 points. I'm going to be okay here. And
exactly.
They're the ones that need to start prepping for.
Yeah, and I also think the conversation is harder, because when you're thinking about your roster, if you're sitting here with 10 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, your roster's got to be pretty stacked, right? And you might get to a point where there isn't anybody you'd want to change off your roster. That's okay. But I think you've got to have the honest conversation to look at every single spot on your roster and think about value opportunity. And there is some real quick wins from a roster perspective that you can take advantage of. So for me, when I'm thinking about roster, and then we'll talk about the mindset of picking up winning players from you. Mm-hmm. If you're carrying an extra DST right now and your DST's at a bye, that's got to go. Same with tight end. Same with quarterback, right? Yeah. Those three positions do not need a handcuff. You do not need a handcuff. They're not worth it. There is no tight end. If you're holding two top five tight ends, unless that second tight end is good enough for a flex, you've missed a trick by not trading him. Because
so you run a league for the playbook people that are in it, where we're actually required to roster two kickers and two defenses per team. They become super premium during the draft. I had dropped my third option of both in week 8. Once two kickers had a bye, two defenses had a bye, I don't need to keep a team that's still got a bye to come in week 11. change it up.
No. And that's exactly it. You don't need backup. The only exception to this I would have is deeper leagues, 14
or if there's a big differential in quality.
Yeah, exactly.
Defenses and schedule. That would be the only concern. If you've got one that's, I don't know, if you're holding a Ravens or a Patriots defense, perhaps, and then you're also playing with the Falcons defense, you're going to want to hold one. I don't know how the buys work. I'm picking teams off the top of my head. But
well, yeah, I mean, Falcons have got a bye coming up, and the schedule for the Patriots is actually for the DST not as good. So I feel like the heyday of the Patriots DST, we're in the sunset of it now. And I think we're at the point where it's probably still, if they're your DST, roll with it. It's fine. But I don't think they're the premium. Don't expect the premium points you've been getting all season out of that DST because their schedule becomes a lot harder. But yeah, exactly that. I think there's no need to have multiples in positions where you play one person. And if you have some, and yeah, and the exception would be if you know one of your rivals needs a QB and you're holding a high-end QB, again, miss the boat by trading him to someone who was desperate enough for one anyway. If your league's still trading, well, great. I trade these people off your roster because
in this situation, trading to about people where you're in and done, I wouldn't worry about what other people need or don't need at this stage, potentially. I'd be looking at me and only me. I'm not caring if the guy in seventh needs a top QB to make it. Let him have it. I
agree with sixth, seventh, fifth.
Yep.
But if your rival in second is stacked chances minus a QB.
But
let's say they've been streaming.
8-9 streaming. Weeks. Yeah, perhaps, yeah.
Or they've been playing Geno Smith all year. You know.
And all of a sudden reset, which is about to change. He's had a decent QB year and now he's out of a job, potentially.
Yeah, exactly that. So I think there's a few scenarios where you can think about that and just be a little careful. But, you know, I think it's safe to drop virtually anybody that you're holding. Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Tom Brady. I think all of those are fine to drop. They're not going to penalize you enough if you're playing with Allen, Mahomes, Burrow,
Hurts, yeah.
Those sorts of players. Hurts, exactly. So I think, you know, get those off your roster. One exception would be if you've been playing with Justin Fields and he's questionable. Of course, keep the second QB until Fields is back. But other than that, in most scenarios. So that's the first one is get rid of them. The second is to look at your
QB, drop all of them.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike White's an acceptable play.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's QB 6 on the week, so crack on Mike White. Then the next thing is to get brutal with your roster. Okay, mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I find with teams that are on championship runs is they have an amazing starting lineup, a couple of stud bench players, and then some absolute dross. And what I mean by dross is not completely awful, but players that will never, ever make their lineup under any circumstances.
And we looked at this, just quickly on that note, the guy we had on, and I cannot for the life of me think of his name, and I should do, who won the FFCC last year. I know it's a best ball competition, slightly different.
Andy Singleton, yeah.
Yes. And Andy's roster there, half of them was there was upside picks at the time. They were late round dart throws that never actually scored anything for him. And that's kind of what we're looking at, even though it's redraft now.
Yeah. And so there's players on people's rosters, Marvin Jones, Jerick McKinnon, you know, these sorts of players who are absolute roster clogs. I would go as far to say that someone like, I'm going through some names, Michael Carter, potentially is a roster clog. Well, he's out for the season now, so you should be dropping him anyway. But yeah, he would be a prime example of that. AJ Dillon, I know he had an RB12 week this week, but his finishes before that were, I'm going to read them out in order. So 10 in RB in week 1, 36, 48, 33, 60, 22, 60, 43, 30, 37, 49, then 12 this week. That's his finishes. Like, yep. Not good enough.
Right,
so why is he on your roster? When you're only ever playing him, and maybe you keep him as a handcuff, or maybe he's that high-value handcuff, which, if you can make that argument, fine. Tyler Algier, he needs to be off your roster. Eno Benjamin needs to be off your roster. Rashad White needs to be off your roster. Like, I know he's having an RB9 week this week, but the Bucks don't run the ball well.
Rashad White.
Yeah.
If Fournette stays out, you've got an RB1 on your team there.
Yeah, but I don't think he is going to stay out. That's my problem, is no. I don't think is going to stay out. You know, I said weeks ago, the players that you want to look ahead to were players like Isaiah Pacheco.
Yep.
Isaiah Pacheco, since I've said that, is returned RB31, RB22, RB15. All right, RB31, not great. But it's all going in the right direction because he's playing easier teams that they're going to lead and they're going to run the ball more and the game script suits. So, like, this is where these little tidbits that we give you on utilization or buy low windows were important because this is where you should have these players on your roster already. But James Robinson, healthy scratch yesterday, he's got to go off your roster.
Yep.
So these are some players that you need to be brutal with and just say, why are they on your roster? Like, are they there to fill the space? And just be honest, is there ever a scenario where I think I'm going to put that player in? You know, I can say the same about wide receivers. You know, I almost think Drake London's droppable, right? I almost think he's droppable. What is he doing for you on your roster? In the last, let's go his last 6 weeks, wide receiver 86, wide receiver 56, wide receiver 45, wide receiver 25, wide receiver 49, wide receiver 73 and counting this week. So he's going to be near at 80.
And some of them weeks after Pitts has gone as well. So he's lost his only competition for targets and he's still not improved.
Exactly that. So why is Drake London on your roster? Like, you expecting this boom? And listen, you have to be prepared for the fact that these might just completely flip. But you've also got to play it big. And I think you've got to cut these players, move them off your roster and look at opportunities. You know, I'd almost say Brandon Cooks, because that quarterback situation is potentially in that same bracket. Brandon Cooks last week, where he finished as a top 35 wide receiver, all right, he missed 2 weeks, was week 4. Where's his upside? Doesn't exist. Yeah. No. There is no upside for Brandon Cooks. So these are the players. Forget name values. Forget where you drafted them. Brandon Cooks, yes, I know you got him in the 6th round. It looks started well. They're changing QBs. They're not interested in winning Houston. They've got the number one pick locked. Like, they're not interested in winning any football games. So they're not going to sling the ball in a negative part. We saw it yesterday. They're 30-0 down. You're talking about the perfect game script for a wide receiver to get a load of garbage points. And he finished wide receiver 43 and counting. Going to be nearer 50 by the end of the week. Got to go. And you've got to have that harsh reality of it, of be really brutal with your roster. Get rid of these guys and then think about weekly plays. And this is where you come in, Dan, because you're more of a DFS mindset player than me.
Yeah.
You've won some good money this year on DFS. So,
got lucky once.
Yeah. So, you know, what are some tips when you're thinking about weekly, not as a weekly streaming play, but weekly high-end plays? So, like, a situation you would look for where you think, yeah, he's low-owned and probably free on your waiver wire, but I actually think he's someone that, in the right situation, could go off that week.
So, with a DFS build, I invariably would look at, first, my gut instinct, I look at all the games, which ones I feel will be higher scoring, or whether the both teams combined will be higher scoring, or whether there'll be a blowout in one way or the other, and then factoring game scripts a lot more. I'm then looking at not just how defenses factor against wide receivers, I'm looking at how they factor against a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two or an outside receiver or a slot receiver, and trying to find those guys. Weather plays a big part, whether it be inside, whether it be outside, whether it be in the freezing cold and the pouring down of rain as we've seen sometimes this year. And sometimes, I mean, look at Seattle. They have two really good receivers there. Metcalf seems to be the target hog. Lockett seems to be the winner. Sometimes it is just your gut as to which one you kind of fancy it's their week at that stage. I mean, those guys aren't going to be available on the waiver wire, but there'll be some people about there that you'll need to pick. So, I'm generally looking at, if you're looking for stat-based stuff, I'd check the betting lines. I'd check what the over-under is on points and whether the bookies are anticipating it being a high-scoring game. And I'd also check the handicap on them as to whether the bookies feel there'll be a blowout one way or the other. And then I'd be looking at a high-scoring game, a team that's going to be less favoured within that game. And then I'd be looking at what their matchups are on offense against certain defense by position? Are they a team that are going to run the ball? They're going to be behind. Is the running back a PPR back? Is it Cordarrelle Patterson that's going to get the back the receptions there? Or is it someone like a Pacheco who's not going to get as many? And then I'd be looking at, let's say, receivers. Is it going to be a slot receiver day or an outside receiver day? And I just kind of pick and choose that way, basically. But key facts, bookies don't get it wrong. They make a lot of money. Over-under on points, handicap differential. And most people that are at this stage, will, I guess if they're playing it, they'll have an idea as to whether they expect the Bills to blow out the Texans. You know, we have an idea how that will go. But put the facts and the numbers into it and just try and go there. And sometimes just trust your gut as well.
Yeah, I think that's great advice and something that we've talked about on the show a number of times. I think it's an underutilized piece of information. So I'm going to throw just a name out here that I think fits that criteria. Now, we don't know the betting lines. They haven't released them for next week.
Yep.
But one that I would anticipate to be a reasonably high-scoring game, it's played indoors between a heavily favored team and a team that is coming back off a win and scored a lot of points. Okay. And it's not a bad offense. So we know they can move the football. I'm going to go to say Mac Hollins of the Raiders. He's 30% owned on Sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing indoors at home against the Chargers.
At home, are they? Yep.
At home against the Chargers. Yep. Like that to me seems the kind of matchup where I would rather have Mac Hollins. We don't know the betting lines, but I'd imagine that the over-under will be near 50. Oh, they're up.
50,
so I would guess that what? There we go.
If you can find a 50.5, they're expecting to be high scoring. Raiders are +1.5. So not quite as blowout as perhaps some would expect. But the bookies certainly favour them to be behind and therefore throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I think with the Raiders right now, I think it's hard. People, they're not on the field at the minute, a good team, but people still believe they should be. And it's hard to let go of that mentality, actually, of this is a better team than they're actually performing at right now.
It's definitely coaching issues. Yeah. And so for me, like I would play someone like Mac Hollins or at least have him on my roster this week. And I'm not saying I'd roster him every week, but he's someone I would roster over someone like Brandon Cooks or Drake London, which is wild, right?
Yeah, it is. But if Devonta Adams goes down, you wandered into a wide receiver one there. They've already lost. And Mac Hollins has got the proof there in the target. So the other one in a similar situation I'd be looking at is I'm a fan of his anyway. Zay Jones coming off a big week.
100%.
The Jags are at the Lions, another indoor game. The line on that one is 51.5. Worrying defenses. And the Lions, the Jags actually, 1.5 unfancied. Lions are favourite. The Lions are favourite for a game. Hold on a minute.
Well, they are because they've won. I mean, other than this week to the Bills, who won three straight before that. They pushed the Bills close. Three straight, just narrowly lost to the Bills. I think that's fair. I think that's fair that they're favourites in that game.
Yep. So someone like Zay Jones would be someone else I'm looking at. And you said Marvin Jones to get rid of. Marvin Jones didn't have a bad game either today.
He didn't. He didn't have a bad game. He's going to have games if he scores touchdowns. He's going to have okay games, but he is so touchdown dependent.
Correct.
His peripherals are not good enough to warrant him being on your roster permanently. Now, if you like him for a play like this week, that looks like a lineup where I might keep Marvin Jones because it's high scoring. They might target him in the red zone. He might get a touchdown, but you're chasing touchdowns. You're not chasing production, whereas I would see someone like Mac Hollins, I can see him having
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease. This is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforumc.org.
7 for 70 game, and that's 14 PPR points. And that's enough for someone, but it could be more. If you say Devontae Adams goes down, he has to sit out a bit of the game, that 14 can go to 24. And we've seen it with him this season, that can happen. So
another one I'm looking at is Elijah Moore. With a change of QB in there. Elijah Moore is 29% owned in redraft.
Oh, my God. You and I are so on different spectrums here. It's not even funny. I can't advocate for this, and I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm going to let you advocate for one.
It's a 45.5 over-under on it. Jets are going to be behind in the game. The QB differential is good. They're playing the Vikings. You would believe, from an own fan point of view, that they're going to be behind in the game. They're riding a bit of a crest of a wave. His confidence is up. I think they look to get him back in the offense. He would be... maybe not redraft wise here, but DFS, he was somebody I'd be putting in the lineup this week because he has the potential to perform.
My worry about Elijah Moore is he is in two wide receiver sets. He's not playing in them. So he is almost exclusively behind Denzel Mims. So I would flip that and say Denzel Mims is the guy I'd want to play because Denzel Mims in a two wide receiver set is getting the majority of the work alongside Garrett Wilson. We know Garrett Wilson's the alpha, but if Garrett Wilson's being covered by good corners, we know that the opportunity in a two wide receiver set is going to go to Denzel Mims. Where your play might make sense is in three wide receiver sets because that is where Mims doesn't play as well and that work tends to go more to Elijah Moore. And if they are playing from behind and they're playing guts to glory football with three wide receivers, that is where I can see a path to Elijah Moore getting more work. But I would look at that game thinking if it's reasonably close because of that Jets D, I would say Denzel Mims to me sits like the better play. And I think he's probably similar ownerships.
Denzel Mims has only had 1 week with more than 5 targets, which is what scares me with Denzel Mims. And no, he's actually only at 2% ownership.
I just look at his utilization and I think it is starting to trend upwards. And not enough for me to be overly advocating him, but I...
Two targets, yeah, I three targets, that... four targets, six targets, one target. I'm avoiding. But I understand the theory behind it. That's why we're
here. And I think, exactly that. It's we present both sides of the case. But I think we're getting the point now is that we're looking at and targeting these plays and thinking about opportunities to jump up and impress. I would look at someone. I mean, it's a hard situation with Jordan Love maybe coming in. We might not see Aaron Rodgers this season. I start to think that Alan Lazard, and I don't know what his ownership is, but I think with a change of QB and a change of culture, that could be really... It depends on his ownership. I mean, you're punting. There's no real form on it here because his last 4 weeks have been wide receiver 55, wide receiver 37, wide receiver 76. But if you look at his season, he's had a wide receiver 30, 16, 23, 13, 32, and 9 before this current spell.
Yeah, see, I'm going to wait. The other one at the back is I'd pick is Randall Cobb. I think Christian Watson's making himself a lead. Randall Cobb's at 18% owned. Coming back off his injuries, had 6 targets, 6 receptions, 4 targets with a score. So he's still available.
But is that an Aaron Rodgers? Is that an Aaron Rodgers thing, or is that
potentially?
That's the thing. It's worth a chance. I think that's the key.
I don't know.
But these are why we look at them. And then the great thing is exactly that.
When you think about Rodgers, it was going to be Amari Rodgers, but that didn't work.
No, I was the same. I was the same as you. I thought this is Amari Rodgers' time. And then we've got these are the sorts of conversations you need to have and to plan and to think of these things and to chase what we're doing is we're not chasing existing points. We're not chasing the people who performed last week, like a Jermichael Hasty. We're chasing potential volume plays or potential upside plays where the market or the fantasy league that you're in hasn't, can't spot that opportunity because they're not listening to shows like this. They're not listening to other podcasts where they will identify that. So if you think about your bench, you've got what, six spots on your bench. Realistically, four of those spots, you should be able to rotate every week if you wish.
Yep.
The other thing we talked about, and you talked about this off air, was picking up handcuffs. And I think it's an important time of the season to do that. You mentioned you're in a league where you just stacked yourself full of handcuffs because you're so far clear in first place.
Well, I was just going to mention it. You talk about four spots. So this was one I'm guaranteed to playoffs before this week scores. It's PPR league, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex. Pretty standard. My bench currently looks like Dontrell Hilliard, Damian Harris coming back off his injury. I had Elijah Mitchell in case CMC was to go down. It's backfired. Brian Robinson, and currently it's Treylon Burks and Garrett Wilson. And waiver claims just gone in. Chris Olave, bizarrely. And I have gone AJ Dillon to replace Elijah Mitchell just in case as a top handcuff.
I get that.
yeah, so I'm looking at turning those wide receivers. Treylon Burks had a few good weeks. Ultimately, I don't think the Titans are going to be super pass heavy down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Chris Olave is available. I'll take Olave over Burks all day long. Probably would have replaced Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson had a very good week this week, so we'll hold him and just see if that form's going to continue on.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even though Burks
out of center now, so
yeah, and even though Burks had a good week this week, because he did in terms of his utilization, in terms of his numbers, they were about near 100% what we would expect. He's still not as good as Garrett Wilson.
Yes, six targets, four receptions, 70 yards.
And that's about what we can expect out of that. That is to me a Treylon Burks week, which is, it's fine. It's fine. It's 11 points. 11 points ain't going to win your matchups. 11 points will leave you.
He has scored a lot this week.
Well, yeah, but that's because the Saints put up 0 points. Like, it's pretty hard when they put up 0 points. Stacey asks, if Mitchell goes... Yeah, I would as well. If Mitchell goes out, is there anyone on the 49ers you would handcuff?
Me, realistically, no. We all thought Mitchell's role would be limited when they traded for CMC, and Mitchell in that kind of first week said that it's going to be viable. Obviously, if CMC does now go down and Mitchell goes out and CMC does go down, somebody's going to have to run the ball. Probably is it Tyrion David Price? But I think they'll go back to heavy Debo from the backfield in that regard, if that be the case. I don't think they'll trust anyone enough to deal with it.
I tend to agree. And I think you'll probably see some more use check, but not enough to make it worthwhile. And I think you'll get a combination of Debo, use check, TDP and Jordan Mason. I think they're your guys. And I don't think any of those three become starters.
But I could have seen Mitchell becoming a regular RB1 if CMC went down.
100%.
That's now gone.
I would say for me, the most glaring pickup, and I'm just going to check his ownership before I say this, but there is someone sitting on almost all waiver wires right now. I'm just checking his ownership before I say this.
As a running back.
Yep, 15% owned. Deion Jackson. Now, Deion Jackson, we've already seen, could put up RB1 weeks. We know the Colts are probably not making the playoffs, right? Especially if they lose tonight. That's pretty much it. JT has played hurt a lot of the year. There is a realistic option where JT is benched. He's sat down for the rest of the year. Because why would you run JT to the ground when he's hurt for no cause? Maybe Jeff Saturday thinks, ah, oh, rah, 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 let's do this. But I don't think they're messing with the franchise. I really don't. And I think when you look at that offense, he's the franchise player. So would you really, when he's played hurt all year, do you really expect him to come out and play in week 16, week 17 if there's nothing to play for and he's still hurt? If he's healthy, he might still play. But I think Deion Jackson, for me, looks like an automatic pickup because he's someone that I can see coming in a week or two and putting up huge numbers, as we've seen when he's come in. He's put up really, really good numbers. In fact, he had
1 week, he actually was the RB1, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm just looking now, and he's finished as,
They're not as great.
RB1 in week six. Yeah, but this is when the offense was struggling. They benched.
Yeah.
They benched Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's back now. That offense is moving a bit better. There's a bit of blood going in that team. I just think Deion, I'm looking at players and thinking they're on the waiver wire almost exclusively in all leagues. And I think he's someone I would be looking to pick up because if something happens to JT tomorrow, he becomes fantasy relevant. He's a top 24 running back in most leagues with the opportunity to be a high end or low end RB1 or even have an RB1 week, as we have seen the overall RB1. So I think Deion Jackson is someone I would be dialed into. I look at strength of schedule for the playoffs, right? So I'd be looking at Nyheim Hines. Is someone that's quite low owned. If something happened to Devin Singletary, he's got an amazing fantasy playoff schedule.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The same could be said, with Deonta Foreman, but I know he's probably heavily owned now, but Chuba Hubbard. Yep. If something happened to Deonta Foreman, Chuba Hubbard looks interesting because he's already taking work. So it's not like he's not worth exclusively playing as it stands right now. But if Deonta Foreman, who has injury issues, as we know, got hurt, his schedule in the playoffs is as good as any running back minus Zeke Elliott because he's got the Steelers, which isn't the best matchup, and he's got the Lions and then the Broncos, which aren't bad matchups in the playoffs. So I think he's someone I'd be really interested in adding.
Michael Hasty is another one at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think
He was fine. He was checked out. He was fine. They chose not to risk him. If that happens again, he goes down. Jamichael Hasty is another flyer. I mean, I doubt he's going to get. He finishes RB7 this week in the end. 5 receptions as well, which helps and a score. Again, I don't think he's going to win you it, but he is someone that could take over that role. They got rid of Robinson. Didn't they bring in?
They brought in Darrell Henderson.
Go on.
So yeah, they brought in Darrell Henderson, didn't they? So it'd be interesting to see what they do there. But they have an interesting playoff schedule because they've got the Cowboys and the Jets, which is just gross, and then the Ravens. It's not a great playoff schedule, but again, it's worth. These are the opportunities you have to kind of explore. That there are decent opportunities to be had out there. Jaylen Warren would be another one for me. If Najee Harris has played hurt all year, maybe they sit him in the final games of the season. I know Jaylen Warren's hurt now, but if he comes back and he's fine, Jaylen Warren looks like somebody I would potentially see coming in. Brian Robinson, I think that boat has gone, but he was one when Travis he wasn't Homer. Getting utilized. Travis Homer's a decent shout. I think that these are the sorts of backs that you need to think about rostering and getting rid of, the Jerick McKinnons. And I'm not just exclusively saying Jerick McKinnon because I don't like Jerick McKinnon. It's not that at all. I have nothing but respect for Jerick McKinnon. He fits the narrative.
Is Rojo still owned anywhere?
Probably not. But
he actually got work this week.
Oh, well, good luck for Ronald Jones. But I think
he had 4 carries this week. And a target.
I look at Jerick McKinnon, and he's the perfect player to not roster in fantasy football because he'll put up 3 top 24 weeks.
Of all the names we just mentioned, Murph, the most rostered one of them is Ronald Jones. He is at 9% roster ship. People, dump Ronald Jones and go and get one of these people, please.
Who's owning Ronald Jones? I honestly, like, what world do we live in?
Ronald Jones, I want to play in a league with someone's roster. First thing he's done this season was 4 carries for 12 yards, 1 reception for 22 yards. We never saw that in Tampa.
Jeez.
That is not going to change. Whereas the situation around the other guys could change. And I think that's the key, is looking for. Hey, and we had it last year. We had Benny Snell. We looked at RG Harris potentially sitting, and we looked at it, and it didn't come to fruition. Some of these won't work. But you need to be thinking the week ahead, not wait till Kenneth Walker goes down injured and then try and pick up Travis Homer. You're going to be fighting and struggling. If you've been clever, you've probably used some of your FAB throughout the year anyway, and you're going to be behind the curve on that one. So
yeah,
get them, stick them.
Another player I'd recommend is someone who went off in last year's playoffs, is Sexy Rexy Burkhead. Yep. Damien Pierce is not running the football well at the moment. He's not running the football well. He's been terrible the last 2 weeks. Sexy Rexy Burkhead in the playoffs, maybe they sit Pierce. Maybe he is hurt. We don't know. I'd imagine there's something that is causing him some trouble to go from the production levels he was at to the production levels he's at now. That's not just the offensive line's got really bad in the last 2 weeks. That's something behind the scenes that we don't know about. He's not been on an injury list, so I don't want to speculate, but I think we've got to be a bit careful. One player I can't advocate having on the rosters, and he's everyone's favourite handcuff, is Alexander Mattison. Because the Vikings are now throwing the ball so much more, Dalvin Cook's role is not brilliant. I know he's sort of the low, what is he, RB11 over the season, RB12, but you know, in his last two games, he's been RB33, RB31. Like, if Mattison comes in, I don't think he's locked in to an RB1 workload. And I think if you are waiting for that to happen, I would be slightly concerned.
Yeah, agree. So, I mean, the players aren't going to differ a lot. We spoke at the start about the two different scenarios that we're sitting in. I think the players aren't going to differ a lot. We've covered a lot of them off. So, if you're in, you're not going to load up on potentials that may well become league winners, for want of a better phrase. But how about those guys now that are sitting 5th to 8th in their leagues, Murph, that are tired through the playoffs or just outside, one win back? How do they approach the situation and with these guys we've been mentioning?
So I think you've got to think about rostering them, but I think you also have to play matchup football, right? So whereas if you're in the playoffs, it doesn't matter who you play over the next 2 weeks and maybe even 3 weeks if you get a bye. It doesn't matter because the landscape will change and it doesn't matter if you win or lose, and your roster is probably good enough to carry the wins. If you are needing to win every single week, what you have to do is outwork your opponent, and you do this by looking at their schedule, looking at their team, seeing if they've got any bye, seeing if they've got week 14 will be key, or week 14 matchup. They might, 6 teams on bye. They might end up having a position that is really struggling. Might be running back, might be wide receiver, where they're going to actually struggle to finish or to pick up players. Get ahead of them on the waiver wire. Actually pick up the players who are desirable and make them really stuck for players. If they need running backs, pick up a load of running backs on your roster and make it difficult for them to pick somebody up. But you've got to play matchup. You've got to play matchup football. You have to look at their strengths and look at their weaknesses. You have to see, based on the buys, how the things move. Look at their team. Do you look likely to win? Or are you looking well short of winning? You know, are you playing a team that is bottom of the league and not scoring many points? Then you can probably, you know, do a little bit less of that and just secure a win, get your points up as much as possible. If you're not a favorite in your matchup and you're in fact scheduled to be beaten by 15-20, you need to start shooting for the moon and picking up some of these players and really going for it, because exactly that, you've got to go and play the ceiling because you can't afford the L. So taking a player like,
hold on, right, use the situation you've had. You've probably, if you're sitting 8th in your league, been starting Drake London most weeks.
There you go.
This week, and you're forecasted to lose by 15 points, I'd take him out and I'd put Elijah Moore in.
Yeah.
Because upside is there more than Drake London. He may get you zip. He may get you one, whereas Drake London's getting you 6 or 7 every week. But he also may get you 18. Just to put the context of some players we spoke about.
And I think that's the key, right? We've talked about the players that you can add, but you need to think about exactly shooting for the moon, thinking of situations where teams can exploit the Matt Collins of the world, the Elijah Moores, the Denzel Mims, or whoever else you want to think about, and think about where there's a situation where they could go to the moon. And we've named a load of running backs potentially, and we've named some wide receivers where matchups look good. Look at the betting lines, look at the points totals. And use that, because that's a really important tool to find these players that can get you the big weeks. Because if you hit, they might just scrape you into the playoffs. And that's the difference. I remember going into a playoff last season, or a situation where it was a win and in. And I think I started like Dario Gumbawale or someone like that. Like it was, I think that was actually first round, second round of the playoffs. And he had a big week enough to get me through. But it's those sorts of situations that you have to exploit, that you have to make the most of. So I think that's how I would play it, is you've got to look up at their roster, try and roster block as much as possible. Think about who you're going to attack on their side. If they're going to be weak in week 14 on running back, go get some running backs and block, but then load yourself with upside plays as well.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. And gamble. Don't be afraid to gamble. Losing by 50 is as bad as losing by 15 in that situation.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Anything else then you want to touch upon in this situation, Murph? Or
no, I think you know, just keep an eye on those situations. Look at your rosters. Manage your rosters accordingly. Try and get some running backs handcuffs that are good. This is tends to be the part of the season where running backs go down and get hurt. Look at situations where running backs could sit, like Jonathan Taylor. I'm not saying they will, but you've got to look at those situations. Take the gamble. You always want to be 1 week ahead, not 1 week behind.
Super. For me, it's great to be back. The news to your Maverick, as I was informed just a few hours ago. So we need to work on that.
Well, listen, if you're here next season, which I hope you will be, and I pray you are, I'll upgrade you to Iceman.
Fantastic. Well, at least I don't die now. I just lose. I suppose that's my improvement. So,
I guess you haven't seen Maverick. I guess you haven't seen Maverick then.
I haven't seen the new one yet. No, I haven't seen the new one yet. Oh. So we'll get there. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Any questions, ping them over. 5-yard chat on Twitter. We'll answer them and maybe we'll look to you next week if you've got any queries and concerns. We'll go from there. Murph, thank you for your time. And we will see you next week.
Cheers, mate. And don't forget, as always, keep rushing.
Redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.